chapter 3, verse 18 through 24. We're going to look at the end of chapter 3. You know, living a life, especially a Christian life, a life with Jesus requires more than just church attendance, but church attendance is awesome, but it's literally being known for us being a follower of Jesus Christ, right? We have this Christian life. We strive to live for Jesus. We strive to love him. John, in this passage, is beginning to talk about abiding in Christ, how we can abide in him. And John continues giving us some basic admonitions for Christian life, and he begins to tell us how we can genuinely live that life, how we can generally live for him, how we can have an identification by our deeds and actions, how we live our life and how we love one another. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, you'll be known by your love. Where do you get that love? You get that love from Jesus, right? Because Jesus resides in you, and you love him, and all you want to do is please him. Yeah, I get excited, because you know what? My life is not just mine anymore, it's his, and how we live for him. And Roger's right. Today is going to, this passage is going to encourage us to go deeper in him, to understand the truth. Because this passage is simple, it is really simple and in simplicity, but it has great depths of truth for us to grasp. And if we all desire to be like Jesus, then we must live our lives as he lived his. And the longer we strive to be like Jesus, the more we will grow in him. Because if you're the same right now as you were at conversion, then you're doing it wrong, right? We have to grow in Christ. We have to learn more. We have to desire more of him. We must be growing spiritually, and that's what John is going to tell us to do as we abide in Christ. I don't know if you know who S.D. Gordon was, but he was a preacher from the early 1900s, and he shares a story in his own life of abiding. He tells of a spring storm that came into their area, and he had several cherry trees, and as the storm began, it broke one of the cherry trees kind of halfway, one of the branches, right, on the cherry tree. And so he looked out there, and he said, I'm not going to go out there and take care of that now, and eventually he just let it go. And so here was one of the cherry trees, the branch half broken, half hanging onto the tree, half not. And as he began to study the cherry tree, and as he began to go out there, because he was going to go out there and take off the cherry tree, he began to realize that there was that branch on that cherry tree, right? Striving to be just like the rest of the... There was little blossoms on it, and there was all kinds of stuff, and he was surprised to see that there was that branch was still doing kind of what it was supposed to do. And so he decided, he said, I'm just going to leave that branch on that tree and see what happens. He said the Holy Spirit was challenging him to see something, to grow from something. He was seeing in the physical that he couldn't see in the spiritual. And when the fruit began to come from those blossoms on that cherry tree, there was the rest of the cherry tree, right? Growing fruit. But there was that branch, right? Just a little bit of fruit on that branch. All the other branches around it were full of cherries, and there was that branch, just a few. The Holy Spirit began to speak to him, and he said if there was ever something he needed in his life, that was that he needed to understand that we have to be fully connected. That we have to be fully connected to the branch. And the branch is Jesus Christ. And he said, you're never too mature in Christ to understand that sometimes we move away from the branch, and that we needed to be reminded of how much we need the branch and how much we need Jesus Christ. And that if we really want all the fruit, that we have to be fully connected. That we have to have the full connection of Jesus Christ and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. That we are here to bear much fruit, right? We are here to bear fruit. We are here to grow. And we are here to use the fruit that we have to tell others and to love others for Jesus Christ. Like we, you know, maybe some of us have never done before. Maybe some of us have, and then we've stepped back. But John here in the scripture is challenging us to be more. And so he's revealing what he wants for us at the end of this chapter to take into our thoughts and into our lives and to live out. So if you're in verses 18 through 20, we're going to slowly walk through verses 18 through 20. And here's John's challenge, right? Here's the challenge revealed. He begins to tell us about how we must express love, right? Verse 18, he says this. He says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deeds and in truth." So this is simple enough to understand, isn't it? If you go to James, and if you can, go to James chapter 1, it's just a book back. Or a couple books back. And if you go to chapter 1, verse 22, James is telling us the same thing. Except he's using the analogy of listening and doing, right? John here is talking about that our love must be more than just in our words, but in our deeds and in our truth. So they're basically saying the same thing, right? They're telling us to love. James says in verse 19, he says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." So we need the word of God, right? Where do we need it? We need to plant it inside of us. We need to plant it in our spirit. And then in verse 22, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Because anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he..." How many of you want to be blessed, man? Come on, I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. And I want to be able to, without a shadow of a doubt, love not just in my words, but in my deeds and in truth. To love one another. To know that when I speak and what I do are the same thing. That I can generally show love in my deeds. I got a call this morning from Roxanne Charbonneau. I don't know if you know her. She's at Lord's Transitions right now. You know where that is? Right behind Cadillac, right behind. Anyway, she calls this morning and she goes, "If there's anybody at church who wants to come visit me today, you can tell them to come visit me today." So I said, I was just going to let it pass, but the Holy Spirit said, "No, you know what? Maybe there's somebody of you will go down there and if you just ask for Roxanne." They'll know who Roxanne is because, you know, she's quite vocal and she's an awesome lady, but they'll know who Roxanne is. You know what she's looking for? She's looking for some love. You know what she remembers of our church? You guys loving her. But just for who she is. Struggles and all, right? Struggles and all. And so she says, "Pastor, will you come after church?" And so I said, "Yeah, this afternoon, Amy and I'll come down and we'll pray with you and we'll we'll have communion and we'll just come visit you. You know, she's looking for a touch. And I, you know, the old enemy, he knows when God's working in your life, right? Come on. And he knew I was preaching this message. That's why she called at 8:30 this morning, right? I knew it. I'm preaching this message. Am I going to do what I'm preaching, right? Am I going to do what I'm preaching? What did she say? Yes. Oh, sure. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Shirley. You see, you know what I thought about? I thought about, oh, the football is going to be on. Come on. You know what Satan does sometimes? Football's going to be on. I'm going to watch those 40 whiners get beat. Sorry if you're a 49ers fan. That's all right. Don't take an offense. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me, that or someone who needs my love, right? Sometimes we have to choose. Now, Doug would say, well, Pastor, you could just record it and watch it later. He's not here today. We could just solve the problem, right? But, you know, later on after lunch, we'll go. Amy and I will go down there, and we will see her, and we'll love on her because she needs love. She's staying at the Union Gospel Mission in the women's side, right? She's got no place to go. Got no place to be. Our actions speak much louder than our words, don't they? We can talk of loving others. We can talk of we can talk till we're blue in the face, but people see who we are and what we do, right? Because talk is cheap. The work of love must be done with pure motive of our heart, because it comes from our love of Jesus Christ. We love Jesus. You didn't accept Jesus just because it was a free pass to heaven, did you? No. You love Jesus because he first loved you. And he first loved us. And that's what John is saying. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name, right? If we go further on here, that we believe on his name. Because in verse 19, John says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Let me read it out of the NIV. I've been using the King James for this because sometimes it just kicks out more for us to grasp. But in verse 19 in the NIV, it says, this then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Right? Your heart can be set. It can be at rest because we know that we belong to Jesus, right? We don't have to struggle with the fact that we belong to Jesus because he's already, if you've given your heart to him, he's already come in. He's there. And that he loves us, because love is this genuine characteristic that comes from him. It's in us. It resides in us. We love others because we love him, right? we express our love. When people come into church, we see their smiling faces. All we want to do is give them a big hug and say, I'm so glad you're here today. I'm so glad that you can be a part of what God is doing. We're so glad. Will and Pat texted and said, I think we found our church. And I said, oh, whoa, are you moving back here? They want to be back here, but God has them in a different place right now, right? But you know why they want to be back here? Because you guys love them. Unconditionally. You love them. When we get to heaven, right? Amen. Amen. We'll be never more like the Lord than when we express our love to others. Did you know that? We will never be more like the Lord than when we express our love to others. You know, the second command is love your neighbors as yourself. Showing that in action is the greatest thing that we can do, because you know what it does? It bears witnesses to our relationship with Jesus Christ. It bears witness. It lets others know and see that you love Jesus. That's what's so amazing, is that others can see Jesus in you. Verse 20 says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Whenever our hearts condemn us, this is the NIV, whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. He knows. He knows. He knows when you're struggling. He knows when you're having a hard time. He knows when you're making progress or when you aren't. He knows. Real love, love as Christ loves, cannot be fabricated. It cannot be imitated. I'm going to say something a little hard here. One either possesses it through relationship with Christ or not, right? You're here. You love Jesus because you have a relationship with Him. What Satan does is he comes in and he tries to bring doubt into our minds and into our heart. He tries to come in and say, oh, I don't know. John is saying you don't have to allow Satan to come in and condemn you. Instead, if you go down to verse 21, right? Here's the confidence revealed, and here's our assurance. He says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. You and I can have all the confidence in the world because we are children of God. You and I are God's children. We need to know that when times of doubt come in, that Jesus Christ is right beside us and He's never left us and He will never leave us. When I was a young Christian, I struggled for a couple years with that assurance of faith, right? I'm sure glad I met Amy because she, you know what? She was a lot farther along in her Christian faith than I was when we met. There were times when I struggled with that assurance. But not only did she, but my mentor, Tom, kept reminding me of the very fact that we have an assurance of faith. That we don't have to doubt. We don't have to struggle. That Jesus loves me for just for who I am. You know, we as believers need to get to the place where our faith and trust rely solely upon Him. He alone secured my salvation at the cross. And I can completely rest in Him. Isn't that amazing? You know, when Zach was in the hospital, it would have been very easy to come to that place where I doubted God. Where are you, God? Some people come to that place, right? Where they say, where are you, God? But instead, we relied, we turned on the music, we prayed in the Spirit, we said, God, you got this, and we believed and we trusted. And that's at a grand level. But how about the everyday things? God, how are you going to pay this bill today? God, how are you going to take care of me today? I stand upon your word where it says you will take care of every need that I have. How you come to that place where you have full assurance that your Savior is with you, that your Savior is walking with you. It's that spiritual growth that has to take place where you can say, I have confidence in Him. I have faith in Him. I'm not going to doubt, but instead, I'm going to live in victory. I'm going to live not as a defeated Christian, but as a victorious Christian. Hallelujah. Yes.
You know, as there are times when we do not feel the presence of God, mm-hmm. when our emotions run wild, and we feel like we're alone.
Yeah.
But the truth is that by assurance of the Word of God and our growing in Him over time, we learn to get through that.
Yeah. How did you get through that?
By faith.
Right? Joni, how do you get through it? He said faith. You can't use that word.
A lot of praying and reading the Word.
A lot of praying, reading the Word.
Believing in Him.
Choosing to trust, right? Coming to that place where you're choosing. You have confidence, right? You have confidence in Him. It's a decision you have to make every day. And when you get up, and you don't feel like getting up, right? And all that equals faith. Okay, God, you know my struggles today, right? You know my struggles. My wife gets up every morning and she's hurting, and yet she gets up and she says, I love you, honey, and I love you, Jesus, right? Some mornings she gets up, is it time to get up already? That's the truth. You know, I say that some mornings. Already. Living in victory is something that we have to choose. Living a victorious life and being strong in Him is something we have to choose. The enemy wants you to be defeated all the time. He wants you to have doubts. He wants you to believe in failure. He wants you to believe in all those things. And there's nothing wrong with failure, because sometimes when we fail, we learn, right? Some people want you to believe you should never fail, but I think the greatest learning points in our life sometimes is when we fail at doing stuff. Well, I failed because I didn't trust God in this. Alexa? Oh, that was yours. I was like, Jesus, are you talking to us? God's funny, isn't He, sometimes? I was like, okay, God. I heard somebody talking. I'm like, well, okay, God, what are you saying? And I'm not going crazy here, right? If you want to get something out of that portion of Scripture, it's this. Condemnation equals defeat, because Satan wants you to be in a condemned mode, right? And we know that there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. We are to be convicted. Satan wants you to live in condemnation. But Christ, God through Christ Jesus, wants you to live in confidence, and that equals victory. If you want to write something down, write that down. Condemnation equals defeat. Confidence equals victory. Because we can have confidence in Him. Because look at verse 22. And I'm going to start at verse 20. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us and we have confidence before God, and we can receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. The King James says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We choose to do what's right when everybody else is doing wrong. See, John is revealing great confidence that we as believers can have when we are making supplications unto the Lord, when we are praying unto God. He's not implying here that we can ask anything that we want from God and God is going to give it to us, right? The immature Christian will say, well, God, I want you to give me $1 million. Just a half, right? And I'm not saying that God can't give you $1 million. But we understand that there are some things that we ask with impure motives. Why do you want $1 million? Okay. Why do you want $500,000, Lisa? So you can help out the church, you can help out people, right? That's a good motive. That isn't what God wants for you. Are all your needs still met? Does God still love you? You have roof, you have food, you have a car, you still have tires, you still have oil in your engine? Have you checked your oil lately? See, God is telling us that He's there. Whatever we ask in accordance to His will, He hears us. And we can understand that He hears us and that we believe that He hears us. And we believe that our prayers will be received by God because they are prayed from a heart that are there to keep His commandments, living in a way that pleases Him, right? John isn't here encouraging the health and wealth doctrine or the name it and claim it doctrine, right? A lot of times, they use this scripture in Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 10, where Jesus said, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks the door shall be opened. You know what I want you to do? I want you to go to Luke. Go to Luke chapter 11, if you have your Bible or your phone or wherever you are. Because you have to look at the big picture here, right? Here is Jesus teaching on prayer. Right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive others of their sins. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Right? He's teaching them. And then, in verse 5, he says unto them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed, and I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Come on. which of you fathers, right? Or as much as, and then verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. And then he goes on to say this, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? Not about money, is it? Come on. Not about money. It's not about money. How much do you want more of God, isn't it? It is about prayer. It's about asking God for our prayer needs. It's about praying with the right heart. It's about coming to Him and asking Him with a pure heart and a pure motive, right? See, we get so confused sometimes, and we just take scriptures and then we begin to add into that scripture what we think it, what we may want it to believe. See, I have learned all these years as being a Christian that God takes care of my needs. Whether they're a little, whether they're a lot. But God loves me so much that He, if I ask for my daily needs, that God will supply. When I was a young Christian, I thought, I'm going to ask God to help me become rich. You know what I've learned? That I've been able to help people through whatever money I have in my pocket. Come on. We don't need a whole lot of money. We just need to be faithful with what we got.
He did help you become rich in spirit.
Well, that's a whole different subject. And that's what he's talking about. You see, who you are is how you respond to other people. Who you are is because you love Jesus Christ. And that desire inside of you gives you the heart to want to share with others what you have, whether it be un poco or grande, right? Because it's inside of you. It's inside of you to do. It's inside of you to give. It's inside of us to love, right? Because here's our allegiance. And we can't miss the heart of this truth, right? We can't miss this. John is saying that if we want to receive blessing from God, if we want to hear our prayers answered, then we have to live for Him. And see, eternal security is wonderful, right? And I've had this debate through the years, Calvin or Arminian, and right, which one is right? And I think they're both right. In some essence. Because John is saying we have a confidence and an assurance of our faith. If I sin today, am I going to hell? No. 1 John 1:9, we went through this, says, if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. And what? Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. It's that part when we just continue to sin and we don't stop and we don't ask for forgiveness, right? Because here's the commandment, verses 23 and 24, right? Let me read this. Let me get back to 1 John. Look at verses 23, the beginning of verse 23. John says this, and this is his command, to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, right? To believe in the name, to believe in him. The King James Version says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Believe, believe, believe. We cannot do anything apart from our relationship with him. See, that's where the aspect of personal growth and maturity in Christ comes into place. Faith must remain in us so it can grow and it can grow and it can grow and it can grow. I'm getting there. Because the last part says, and to love one another as he commanded us. To love one another, right? To have that within sight of us. John is reminding us how much we need that, that to grow in ourselves, we need to love one another's. We can never reach a point spiritually where love is non-essential. It is a fact. As we mature in the Lord, our love for him and our others should grow. It needs to grow, regardless of what situation we're in. We are expected to react in love as Christ loves. Look at the last part, verse 24. Remain in obedience and rest in grace. Right? Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Hallelujah. Amen. And he that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. Because just as our faith and love must endure, so much our obedience, so much more should our obedience to him get even greater. Because we have been saved by grace and have escaped the condemnation of the law. And we get to live in victory and freedom, right? No more fear. No more doubt. Don't let the enemy attack your mind anymore. Because God doesn't desire for you and me to live our Christian lives wondering about anything, especially our salvation. We're not to wonder about anything. We are to put our faith and our trust in him and believe in that. Because we are indwelt with his Spirit, and that Spirit inside us should give us pure confidence in him. Because he loves us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Will you stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to know Jesus. Just simply say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. And I believe in you by faith today. And I trust in you today. Because you are the greatest gift that I can ever receive. You're the greatest gift that to know how much you love me and how much you care for me. And how your grace and mercy has saved me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, as we go today, I ask that you empower us with the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. That today, there are those who have needs Doris, God, this, she's in pain, touch her. And for Lisa, God, we ask that this referral to the surgeon will come in immediately and she'll be helped and taken care of. Continue to take care of Shirley. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever other needs are here. Maybe there's somebody who needs help financially. I ask God that you would open the doors for those to help. Thank you, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for your presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to take your word and to be able to learn and grow from it. And I pray that, God, when we leave this place, we will not forget, as James says, but to not just be hearers, but be doers. Let us be a doer and let your word today impact us and help us to grow from it. And not just listen and walk away. I love you, God, and I know these who are with me love you too. And so I ask for those things in the name of Jesus Christ, those needs be met today. And as we go, let us be, Father God, the witness to our world. Let us to take a stand and stand up for Jesus. When you say, let it be so, let it be so. Amen.